Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, "Now then, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. And the Bible says that before he was translated, or before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If you continue to read in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, you go to verse number 7, and the Bible tells us about Noah. The Bible says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 about the faith of Abraham and the faith of Sarah. In this current series of sermons, we actually began about verse number 22, when the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 about the faith of Joseph. And we entitled that first lesson, "Blessings in a Box of Bones," and how that we saw the unmistakable promise that God had made, and how that Joseph, by faith, had faith in that unmistakable promise. We also looked at the parents of Moses. The Bible said that they hid him because they knew that he was a goodly child. You and I looked at the concept of the Passover. The Bible telling us that Moses, from the book of Exodus chapter 12, that those folks had taken that lamb that was without spot or blemish, and how they killed that lamb and they took that blood and they put it over the doorpost. And the Bible says, God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." You and I have looked at the city of Jericho. The Bible says they compassed that city about, and we entitled that lesson, "And the walls came tumbling down." We looked at the work of faith. We looked at the worship of faith. We looked at the weight of faith. As you and I look at the city of Jericho and how by faith the children of Israel compassed that city once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, seven times around that city, and they blew those trumpets and the walls fell. Now we also find in Hebrews chapter 11 that the Bible tells us about a lady by the name of Rahab. The Bible says that by faith Rahab, she did not die. She was not destroyed with those that believed not. The Bible says when she received the spies with peace, that she was not destroyed. She did not die. How did that happen? The Bible says by faith Rahab the harlot. As you and I look at this, I want you to keep your finger maybe in Hebrews chapter 11, but we're going to focus in on the book of Joshua chapter number 2, because we're going to be looking at the life and what occurred when Rahab the harlot received the spies. As a matter of fact, when you read the New Testament, you'll find Rahab mentioned two other times in the New Testament. One is in the book of Matthew chapter 1. Isn't it ironic, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible speaks of this woman by the name of Rahab, and the Bible says that she was a harlot, and yet we find her listed in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then when you go to the book of James chapter number 2, the Bible says that Rahab, through her works, her faith and her works, the Bible says that she sent the messengers out another way. As you and I look at this, I want to tie it in with 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He lists several of those there. For an example, fornicators, adulterers, the effeminate, the abusers of themselves with mankind. And he lists those. Ladies and gentlemen, would you and I not find Rahab the harlot listed in that group? And yet we've entitled this the Champions of Faith. I don't know about you, but I like champions. Somebody said that most of the things that are accomplished in life are accomplished by people that don't feel like it. Ladies and gentlemen, as you and I look at the life of Joseph, or the life of Abraham, or the life of Moses, or the life of Rahab the harlot, as you and I look at the children of Israel as they passed through the Red Sea and then the River Jordan, do you not imagine that there were times when Moses and Joshua, they did not feel like leading the children of Israel, and yet these men are champions? Now in 1 Corinthians 6, the Bible says, "But such were some of you." The Bible says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor those who are abusers of themselves with mankind. And he lists some others. And then he says, "But such were some of you. But now you're washed. Now you are clean. But now you are justified." Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at champions of faith, you and I can understand today that Rahab was a harlot. You may be studying in the Old Testament. You may find some writer who may make the statement about the word harlot as it is translated in the Hebrew language. And there are about two or three different translations of that word in the Hebrew. And one of those would signifies something other than what you and I might know as a prostitute. So there could be those who would come along and say, "Oh no, wait a minute, Brother Acuff. Now the word harlot is used, but it means something other than a prostitute." Well now, my friend, you come over to the New Testament, the book of James 2 and verse 25, and in the Greek language of James 2 and 25, the word harlot means a prostitute. So what do we find? We find that Paul said, "Such were some of you, but now you're justified." You and I look at Rahab the harlot, listed in the genealogy of our Lord. We find Rahab the harlot listed in James chapter 2 among those of faith. And so when you and I look at that, there are four things very briefly. When you go back, go with me now to Joshua chapter number 2. And we're going to look at four things about Rahab the harlot found in the second chapter of the book of Joshua. The Bible tells us that the spies, they go into the city of Jericho. And when they go into the city of Jericho, they find themselves at the house of Rahab the harlot. Now I'm going to just paraphrase Joshua chapter 2 in these next few points. They found themselves in the house of Rahab. Number one out of four. She was confronted with the providence of God. Now, folks, listen. That city of Jericho was a big place. I mean, they lived in, you imagine, the wall and the size of that wall, because these folks lived inside the wall. It was a city of antiquity. It was a city of iniquity. And so the spies go into that city, and my question is, how did they happen to get to the house of Rahab? I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it was by the providence of God. Here was a woman and God knew her heart. He knew that she was receptive. And as a result, these men went to her household. Now, what is this concept of providence? As a matter of fact, when you and I look at the Bible, do we not find in the book of Genesis that there was a man there by the name of Joseph? And do you and I not look at his life and what do we find? We find that his brothers were jealous. They were going to kill him. They put him in a pit. They eventually sold him. Do you remember that when he was in Potiphar's house, what happened to him? Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph, but he would not succumb to her temptation. She grabbed his garment and accused him of assaulting her, and he ended up in jail. You would think, man, now's the time to give up. The two men who came in there, the baker and the butler, and he interpreted their dreams. He said, "Do not forget me." Don't you imagine that once that butler got out that he forgot it until a certain thing took place in the life of Pharaoh? And don't you remember how then that Joseph was brought in and interpreted the dream? He became only the second to Pharaoh in Egypt. How did this occur? Now come to mind, ladies and gentlemen, his brothers eventually come to Egypt. And Joseph said to his brothers, "You meant this for evil, God meant it for good." You and I can go to the book of Esther. And as you and I think about the book of Esther, and we think about the providence of God, and Mordecai, he said, "Esther, you've got to go to the king. Haman is going to kill the Jews. You've got to go to the king. Tell the king what's going on." She said, "Look, if I try to go into the king and he does not receive me, I can lose my life." And Mordecai said, "Who knows, but thou hast come to the kingdom for such a time as this." The providence of God. Do you and I not see the providence of God in the book of Romans 8? When the Bible says that we know, what do we know? We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Do you and I not understand the words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 28 in verse number 20, in which He said, "And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world"? Is that not a picture of the providence of God? As you and I look in the New Testament, we turn to Philippians 1 and verse number 12. What does the Bible tell? Paul said, "Look, that this has turned out. This has worked out to the furtherance of the goal." There were some who meant damage to Paul. But he said, "This has worked out to the preaching of the gospel." You see, ladies and gentlemen, God's providence. Who knows but you today who are not a child of God, you have never obeyed the God, you are not a Christian, that the providence of God has maneuvered your life to put you in this spot on this day to hear a message of the Bible that will encourage and motivate you to do the will of God. You and I can see that she was confronted, folks, with the providence of God. There are those individuals who have the idea, "Oh, Brother Acuff, if you knew what I've done." She was a harlot. I read about one lady who had heard the gospel of Christ. And she had been rather a promiscuous lady in her life. And she said, "I went down into that water a fornicator and I came out as a virgin Christian." You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, "And such were some of you." The providence of God. She was confronted with the providence of God. Number two, she was convinced, ladies and gentlemen, of the power of God. Rahab said to these spies, "We have seen what God has done among us." Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Joshua. I want you to look at chapter number 2, and I want you to look at a statement that she makes in the second chapter. Go down to verse number 9. She said unto the men, "I know the Lord," listen to this, "I know the Lord hath given you this land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea." What is she? She's convinced, folks, of the power of God. Listen, many men today have the idea that God is asleep somewhere. Many men have the idea, he's out there somewhere in this nebulous situation he's asleep and we don't know where he is and he's forgotten all about us and he's not, No. You see, Rahab said, "I know what God has done." Are you and I convinced of the power of God? Leviticus chapter 10, and Nadab and Abihu, the Bible said, who offered strange fire before the Lord, and the fire came down and consumed them. You and I have the idea that because God does not operate in a miraculous way, that God's out somewhere and He doesn't care. No. She was convinced of the power of God. Thirdly, she was confirmed by the Word of God. You see, listen to this. I see there are several words. The Bible uses the word, when we heard. Go down to verse number 11. She said, as soon as we had heard these things, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and the Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God by faith. What God do? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My friend, see, some of us folks have the idea out of our world, well, I'm going to wait on God to... Man, as soon as God hits me. No. He didn't hit Rahab. He didn't hit Noah. The Bible says by faith. What did they do? They heard the Word of the Lord. And you and I have this idea that maybe there's going to be some little still small voice that's going to whisper in my ear. No, that voice is going to be the voice of the Son of God through the written Word that He has given to us. We heard the message. And when you and I look at this topic, the champions of faith, you see, ladies and gentlemen, over and over and over again, it is the impression of hearing the Word of God. Listen to this, Acts chapter 2. Now when they felt this, they were pricked in awe. Now what it says. The Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in awe. What did they hear? That they had been guilty of crucifying the Son of God. She was confronted with the providence of God. She was convinced of the power of God. She was confirmed by the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, she was cleansed by the grace of God. If you look at in Joshua chapter 2 and in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible refers to these men as spies. But then when you read James 2 and verse number 25, you know what the Bible refers to them as? Messengers. She heard the messengers. Now what did the messengers tell her? Let's just assume for a second that the messengers didn't go to Rahab. Let's assume for a second that she's, man, I don't have anything to do with you guys. I heard about it. Man, stay away from my door. Through the providence of God, these messengers, these spies, went to Rahab. She hid them. Now watch this. Because they told her. She said, now look, I'm going to take care of you if you'll take care of me. They said, we'll take care of you. But now watch this. Your family will take care of you and all of your family that are in your house. You're not in your house? No, I'll take care of you. In your house. Where was salvation for Rahab and her family? They said, if they're in your house, we'll save them. Oh, somebody said, I don't need to be in the church. Listen to this. The Bible says, to the intent that now the principalities and powers might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. The Bible teaches, ladies and gentlemen, that it is in the body of Christ. That it is in Christ and the church is His body. Galatians 3, the Bible said, as many of you, Galatians 3:27, as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. It's in His body. that you and I are saved. Not folks, not somewhere else. The spies said to her, if they're in your house, we march around this wall 7 times on that 7th day, and these walls come tumbling down. Now, I don't have time to pursue it, but you remember the scarlet cord that was placed outside? Do you remember this? When we see the cord, what are we going to do? We're going to pass over that section. It'll not be destroyed. Go back with me to the Passover. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the cord, I'll pass over you. When I see you in my body, having been baptized into my body and have His blood cleanse you, I'll pass over you. She was saved by the grace of God. Her household was saved by the grace of God. But they had to be in the house. I must be in the body of Christ. 4 things. She was confronted with the providence of God, convinced of the power of God, confirmed by the Word of God, and cleansed by the grace of God. What about you today?